Welcome to the Underwood Press podcast. Today we're going to hear a story about a crosstown rivalry that takes place, in many communities around the nation every year, around Thanksgiving. It's a common event where neighbors and friends and maybe rival schools get together for an unofficial game of football. It's called the Turkey Bowl. This is Turkeys, Clydesdales, and Guided Missiles by Eric Luthy. During my last 2 years of high school and a few years afterward, I worked part-time in a grocery store. More specifically, I worked in the produce department where I didn't have to interact as much with customers as did the cashiers up front. As the result, I developed a greater rapport with fruits and vegetables than I did with people. Across town, 4 miles distant, stood another one of our grocery stores. Every year on Thanksgiving, the guys from our store would meet the guys from their store for an epic football battle. We called it what everyone else calls their Thanksgiving Day football game, the Turkey Bowl. Every year for the past 3 years, I played in our Turkey Bowl. I was a big guy, and so I was assigned to the line. Take 2 steps forward and then turn toward the quarterback and contain him. Those were invariably my instructions, followed by stop the guy with the ball. So the quarterback would say right tackle, and I would play right tackle until I was told otherwise. I never played receiver or running back or anything else requiring a fast launch. I was big, and that meant inertia. Inertia means things at rest tend to stay at rest, while objects in motion tend to stay in motion and moving in a straight line until some outside force acts upon them to change the direction or speed. That was me. I was the object at rest and therefore slow off the line. So I was limited to left guard, right tackle, left tackle. Not that I couldn't get up ahead of steam. I wasn't slow. But I wasn't quick. It took me a long time to get up to full speed. Watching me run was like watching a freight train pull out of a rail yard. Eventually, it moved fast. Just not at the start. In the sports world, people like me weren't called freight trains. That could be construed as a compliment. Instead, we were called Clydesdales. Big horses, more suitable for pulling a wagon full of beer or plowing a field than running a race. In our game, the rules for eligibility were simple. In order to play, you had to work at the store you played for. Many of our guys played football in high school. We had some talent. Not me. I never played anything requiring cleats, pads, or helmets. I threw discus and played water polo. Still, I was a big guy and size was an asset on the line. So for 3 years I played. For 3 years in a row, we won the game. I do not claim credit. This year, our crosstown rival store showed up with one player no one from our store had seen before. 6 feet tall and stocky, but he moved well. Later, we would find out that he played running back for USC. Third string. Yes, he works at the store. Never seen him. He's part-time. He's still in college. So how come we've never seen him? He just started. He works nights. We had no roster, so in the end, we let him play. We received first and marched down the field to score. Easy. This was looking like the last 3 years. We kicked and they returned the ball. Then the USC running back, third string, came onto the field. Their strategy was simple. No passing. Hand the ball to the USC running back, third string, and let him go. They didn't even block for him. Their linemen stepped aside and let him run. He didn't try any end runs or anything like that. By the time he reached our line, he was moving. He smashed straight through our guys and made 4 or 5 or 7 yards and we would gang tackle him and drag him to the ground, like a pack of lions dragging a charging Cape buffalo to earth. Except that here the lions were getting trampled. When he got tired and needed a break, they'd hand the ball to someone else who invariably lost yardage. They scored on their first possession. We scored again. They scored again. After our third touchdown, we ran in for a conversion and an extra point. They missed the extra point on their next touchdown. After nearly 2 hours of play, the score stood at 22 for us, 20 for them. It was our ball on their 10-yard line. Fourth down. The score here would put the game away. We ran the play and dropped the ball. They recovered. Their first play after that, I was right tackle. The quarterback handed the ball to USC running back third string, and he charged straight ahead toward our left side. On their side, the right guard and right tackle stepped away and let him through, as did our linemen. I guess our linemen thought someone else on our team would stop the guy, but everyone just sort of stopped moving right where they were and groaned. Three more steps and he was past our quarterback and everybody else on our team. I turned and ran after him. There was a second communal groan from behind me as my whole team realized that the only person in pursuit of the USC running back third string was me. We passed the 20-yard line and the 30 and the 40. By the time I crossed midfield, I was running all out and still a full 10 feet behind him. At the 50-yard line, I was the freight train barreling downhill with no brakes. But it had taken me 40 yards to reach speed, and as hard as I ran, I couldn't catch him. He stayed 10 feet ahead of me most of the way across that field. He could hear my feet pounding on the ground. Clydesdales aren't quiet when they run. He knew I was there, and he didn't slow down. He was going to run all the way into the end zone, and I would chase him every step of the way. I didn't breathe. 6 more seconds and it would be over. During my chase, I almost gave up. Everyone else had. I knew I couldn't catch him the moment I turned to chase. I ran because no one else did. We passed the 40 and the 30. I gained maybe a foot over the last 20 yards. He was tiring, but no way would it be enough. We crossed the 20-yard line. And then the guided missile appeared. To my right, without looking in that direction, I saw movement. I knew right away who it was. It was Javier, the smallest guy on our team. He was also the fastest man on the field that day, and he came in at an angle, aimed right at the USC running back, third string. Javier was clear on the other side of the play when the ball snapped. He also didn't start running when I did. When the USC running back, third string, broke through our line, Javier thought it was over. He saw me give chase, and he saw that I was the only one. He wasn't about to leave me out there all alone. So he went in pursuit of both of us. The USC running back, third string, saw Javier about the same time I did. I know this because he did something that surprised me. He took a sort of half step. It was enough to shift his momentum. He slowed down just enough. Javier overshot and struck only a glancing blow and spun off to the left. Mr. USC running back, third string, tried to accelerate again. And this is where inertia really comes in. He couldn't speed up fast enough, and I never slowed down. At the 10-yard line, I crashed into him at a dead run. I wrapped my arms around him and lifted my feet. Inertia now carried us forward. During the fall, I tried to strip the ball from him, but he was good. USC running back, third string and all. He held on to that ball, but it meant he couldn't use his hands to absorb the impact. He went in face first, and I came down on top of him, all 6'3", 220 pounds of me. We hit the ground hard enough to make divots in the grass. The referee marked the ball on the 4-yard line. My team trotted up to Javier and me, and took their positions on the line. "Nice run, Simon," said one of my teammates. We held them there on the 4-yard line through 4 downs, and the game ended. The USC running back, third string, did not take the field during those last 4 plays. You've been listening to the Underwood Press podcast, and that was Turkeys, Clydesdales, and Guided Missiles by Eric Luthie.